Chapter 60. Laszlo would be wrong about the mission's duration, but not in the manner that he expected. Surfacing 2 miles northwest of the cove, the Takuma quickly offloaded its commando team for the second time that night. Dressed in nondescript black fatigues, Pitt joined the 8-man rescue team that climbed into a pair of inflatable boats and raced away from the sub. Stopping outside the entrance to the cove, the pilot of each boat shut off its outboard engine and resumed propulsion with a silent, battery-powered electric motor. Gliding into the cove, Pitt took a disappointed look toward the pier, then whispered to Laszlo, "She's gone." The Israeli commando silently cursed as he saw that Pitt was right. Not only was the tanker gone, but the entire pier was empty. The buildings on shore appeared dark and uninhabited as well. "Alpha Team, revise landing to Joint Shore Recon," he radioed to the other boat. "Assigned target is the East Warehouse." There was still a chance that the tanker crew was held captive ashore, but he knew it was false optimism. The success of any covert operation, he knew from years of experience, was always the quality of the intelligence, and this time, the intelligence appeared to have failed. The two boats ran ashore simultaneously a few yards from the pier, their occupants scrambling ashore like silent ghosts. Pitt followed Laszlo's squad as they approached the stone building and then stormed in with a fury. Watching from the front courtyard, Pitt could tell by sound that the building was deserted, like the rest of the port facility. He made his way toward the west warehouse, hearing the light steps of Laszlo approach as he reached the door. "We haven't cleared this building yet," the Israeli whispered in a hard tone. "It's empty like the others," Pitt said, flinging open the door and stepping inside. Laszlo saw that Pitt's words were true as he flicked on the interior lights, revealing a cavernous building that was empty save for a large metal container on the far side. "Your explosives?" the commando asked. Pitt nodded. "Let's hope it's still full." They stepped across the warehouse to the container, where Pitt slid the deadbolt free. Pulling on the handle, he was suddenly confronted by a lunging figure from inside who swung a piece of broken crate. Pitt managed to sidestep the blow, then turned to throw a punch. But before he could strike, the toe of Laszlo's boot appeared out of nowhere, burying itself in the attacker's stomach. The startled assailant gasped as he was lifted off his feet and slammed into the side of the container. He meekly dropped his makeshift weapon as the muzzle of Laszlo's assault rifle was prodded into his cheek. "Who are you?" Laszlo barked. "My name is Levi Green. I am a seaman from the tanker Dayan. Please don't shoot," he pleaded. "Fool," Laszlo muttered, pulling away his rifle. "We are here to rescue you."
I'm sorry," he said, turning to Pitt. "I thought you were a dock worker."
"What are you doing in this container?" Pitt asked.
"We were forced to load its contents, boxes of explosives on the Dayan. I hid in here in hopes of escaping, but they locked the door and I was trapped."
"Where are the other crewmen?" Laszlo asked.
"I don't know. Back on the ship, I suppose."
"The tanker is no longer here."
"They modified the ship," Green said, his eyes still wide with fear. "Cut open the forward tanks and filled them with bags of fuel oil. We were forced to place the boxed explosives inside."
"What do you mean, bags of fuel oil?" Pitt asked.
"There were crates and crates of the stuff in 50-pound bags. They were marked as some sort of fuel oil mixture. Ammonium something or other."
"Ammonium nitrate?" Pitt asked.
"Yes, that was the stuff."
Pitt turned to Laszlo. "Ammonium nitrate fuel oil, or ANFO. It's a cheap but highly effective blasting agent," he said, recalling the devastating effect a truckload of similar material had on the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City back in 1995. "How long have you been in the container?" Laszlo asked the seaman. Green looked at his watch.
"Just over 8 hours."
"Which means they may have a 100-mile head start," Pitt computed quickly. Laszlo reached down and grabbed Green's collar, then yanked him to his feet.
"You're coming with us. Let's move."
2 miles to sea, The Takuma's captain was relieved to see the Batman approach the rendezvous point less than an hour after they had departed. But his sentiment turned when Laszlo and Pitt reported the disappearance of the Dian. The submarine's radar records were hastily reviewed, and the Dian's automatic identification system signal was accessed, but neither provided any indication as to the tanker's whereabouts. The three men sat down and studied a map of the eastern Mediterranean.
"I will alert Naval Command," the captain said. "They might already be within hours of Haifa or Tel Aviv."
"I believe that's a wrong assumption," Pitt said. "If history repeats, they're looking to detonate that ship at a Muslim site, to make it look like an attack by Israel."
"If they were to strictly target a major population center, Athens appears closest," Laszlo noted.
"No, Istanbul is somewhat closer," Pitt said, eyeing the map. "And it's a Muslim city."
"But they wouldn't attack their own people," the captain said derisively.
"Jellic has shown no shortage of ruthlessness to date," Pitt countered. "If he's already bombed mosques in his country and throughout the region, there's no reason to doubt he wouldn't kill thousands more of his own countrymen."
"The tanker, is that dangerous?" the captain asked.
"In 1917, a French cargo ship carrying wartime explosives caught fire and blew up in Halifax Harbor. Over 2,000 nearby residents were killed in the blast. The Dian may be carrying 10 times the explosive power of that French freighter. And if she's headed to Istanbul, she'll be sailing into a city center of over 12 million people." Pitt pointed to the marine approach to Istanbul on the map. "At a speed of 12 knots, she would still be 2 or 3 hours from the city."
"Too far out of range for us or our boats to catch her," the captain said. "Not that I would sail through the Dardanelles anyway. I'm afraid the best that we can do is alert the Greek and Turkish authorities while we remove ourselves from their territorial waters. In the meantime, we can leave it to the intelligence satellites to figure out exactly where she's headed."
"What about the crewmen?" Laszlo said.
"Lieutenant, I'm afraid there's nothing more we can do," the captain replied.
3 hours, Pitt muttered quietly while studying the route to Istanbul.
"Captain, if I'm going to have a chance at catching her, I need to get back to my ship at once."
"Catch her?" Laszlo asked. "How? I didn't see a helicopter aboard your ship."
"Not a helicopter," Pitt replied with a determined voice, "but something that's nearly as fast as a speeding bullet."